Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of In the Ring with Acacia Clamont. It's that time of year. As I mentioned in the last episode, two-year-old sales are on the mind as we are getting set for the OBS April two-year-old in training sale. I want to say a big thank you to OBS for their support of In the Ring. It's the largest two-year-old sale in the world, the April sale coming up. There were 10 graded stakes winners from the 2023 April sale. Very talented horses like Dreamfire, Nysos, Windstock, Hades, and grade one winner Carson's Run. The sales dates coming up are April 16th to April 19th, 2024. The session starting at 10:30 a.m. each day. The undertack dates are underway April 7th to April 13th each day starting at 8 a.m. So be sure to follow everything that's going on over at the OBS April two-year-old in training sale. We'll be talking a lot about the April sale on today's show. Have some special guests that will give us a really nice look into what to expect. So without any more blabbing at the top of the show, let's get right to it and welcome in the first guest. I'm so happy to welcome back to the show Jimbo Gladwell from Topline Sales, who was nice enough to take some time out of what is, I know, one of the busiest weeks of his year as we have the undertack show underway over at OBS April with the two-year-old sale coming up. Jimbo, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me again today.
Hey, glad you had me back on the show. It's my pleasure.
And you know, with the invite back, it's often a good thing too, right? As a lot of exciting horses coming up, but also, you know, when you were on this show with me last year, we were talking about a really exciting Good Magic colt who had just been dazzling in the Breeze Show going 9-3. That colt sold for $2 million and is now a grade one winner named Muth. Can you talk just a little bit reflecting back on what the last year has been like and watching your graduates be so successful on the racetrack?
You know, that colt was unbelievable at the sale, and you know, a lot of credit goes to Mr. Zidane and Donato and Baff for buying the horse, but there was a lot of other guys. There was probably five guys over $1 million on him. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of sharp guys after him, and unfortunately only one of them can win, and he's turned out great for them guys. He's been super solid, tries hard every race, and you know, we're very proud to have him come out of our consignment.
A winner, a grade one winner as a two-year-old, taking the American Pharoah, second in the Breeders' Cup behind Fierceness, and then just recently last week taking the grade one Arkansas Derby as a three-year-old. And as far as just an advertisement for your program and saying this is the kind of horse that we can offer, how meaningful is that to see one that sold so well and one that had been kind of the buzz of the sale do well on the racetrack?
Well, it means the world to have a colt like that come out of your consignment. And it shows we have quality horses for one. But, you know, as a horseman and you know, being married to a horse trainer, mm-hmm. those special horses are hard to come by. I mean, mm-hmm. we try, you know, our whole lives to come up with a good one like that. And I just hope we get a deal with some in the future, you know, that are almost as talented as him, because mm-hmm. it is truly special to get a colt like that.
Like I said, he had turned heads, and you talked about how he had really kind of been a standout, and with that workout too, going 9-3. The Breeze sale, as mentioned, underway already for the April two-year-old sale coming up. Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen so far with the horses that have hit the track and getting ready for that sale?
Yeah, so it's only day two into our Breeze mm-hmm. show. We've already had a few 9-4s and a few 10-flats, and you know, really excited to show off some of the horses we've got. We've got a New York bred filly that worked today 9-4 by Solomini that this went exceptionally well. And, you know, she's a homebred of Tory, so that makes it even sweeter for us. We've got a Motown filly we're hoping kind of emulates Kia Life, who was a graded stake winning Motown filly we sold that really worked good this morning. And she galloped out huge, homebred for a good client. And we couldn't be more excited about her. And we've got a few more coming down the pipe later on in the week that we're excited to show off.
Are there any ones with maybe some of the newer stallions that are always a little bit of the intrigue and the excitement at these two-year-old sales that you're particularly looking forward to seeing?
Oh yeah, there's a few. We've actually had an authentic work really good yesterday. He had one of the biggest works in the biggest strides of the day for the 8 mile workers with a huge gallop out. And we were excited to get him over here and showcase him. He's just a monster of a horse and could be a really nice colt down the line. We've got a global campaign colt that's going to work really good, we feel like, coming into maybe, I think he may work tomorrow, but we're really excited about him. And then let's see, we've got another authentic filly that should work good later in the week. And we got an improbable colt that should work good for us later in the week as well. We're a little light on freshman sires at this at this sale for us. We usually carry a bunch of them, and just for whatever reason, we had a hard time buying them this year. They were kind of in high demand, and it was hard to purchase them.
It is amazing too, just, you know, the excitement and the buzz that some of those freshman sires really do attract as well. And we see you with a pretty large group coming into the April sale as well. How did you decide on this group, and what did they do to kind of make themselves stand out to say that they were ready to go into the April sale?
Well, a lot of it is the timing of getting them. A lot of these horses come out of maybe October OBS, October Phasic Tipton. Some of them were homebreds that people had bought back out of September and took home for a couple weeks before they sent them down to be broken. So a lot of it is timing for us. And then just, you know, trying to fit the pieces together. You know, we don't want too many cheap horses in the March sale, because there's a lot more buyers, you know, in like the 100,000 range. There may be 200 buyers here in April for that kind of horse, where there may only be 50 in March for that kind of horse. So, you know, we want to hit the biggest audience and try to stand out where we can.
And you mentioned the March sale, which wrapped up about a month ago. Reflect back a little bit on the March sale and how you kind of felt the response from the market with the draft that you brought there.
You know, we had a really good sale. Fortunately, our pin hooks really did well for us. The horses worked good. We were very, very blessed that they vetted. And the buyers came in and supported us, but it was very a tricky sale. You had to you couldn't be playing around with the market a whole lot. You needed to, you know, be pretty solid on where your horse's value was and not miss the mark too much. But we felt really good about the ones that showed off and worked good. They were well received and they brought plenty of money.
We've talked about prepping horses, whether it's going to the sales or going to right to the racetrack and getting them ready to breeze at this stage and then ideally go right on to the races. What are some of the things that they need to show in their preparations to be prepared for the rigors of going through the two-year-old sale?
You know, I treat them pretty much along the same lines as far as going to the races. I mean, my race horses right now are breezing 3/8 at the farm, nice and easy. Up until their last prep coming to the sale, we really don't put much more speed into them than I would my race horses. Mm-hmm. They get one fast prep at the farm, and then we prep them at the sale one time, and they're ready to rock and roll. But, you know, any of the race horses that we're going, you know, I've got some that'll ship to Brad Cox May 1st. Mm-hmm. And if we prep them horses one time fast, they would be right on the same schedule as these 2-year-olds that are going to the sales. They're getting a lot of miles, a lot of nice, easy works into them, good fitness. And, I think a fit horse stays sounder longer.
And the fitness, you always come to expect it from your consignment too. I mean, they come in to the sale looking strong and looking like they have a little bit more physical maturity to them as well. It seems like, you know, you come to expect it from the top line horses that they know their jobs and they know what to expect. And like I said, ideally, you see a lot of them go on and be pretty precocious right off the bat as 2-year-olds, which is always exciting.
Well, there's a few points to that I got to give credit. Like, number one, my wife is very on it as far as the feed program. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's out there, you know, the boys are throwing night feed and making sure they're eating and, you know, just really tailoring the program to each horse. I mean, you get some of these finicky fillies that don't want to eat. Mm-hmm. She's on them early and making sure they've got enough condition. And then as far as getting them to the races, you know, my riders have them ready to go on and be able to be trained. They don't need time off because they can't be ridden. You know, some of these things, when they come out of the two-year-old sales, you know, depend on where you get them, aren't broke the way you want them to, and you need to take them home and kind of rework them a little bit. But, you know, I've got some riders that have been with me for like 6 years, and they do a great job of getting these horses really broke, and you can send them anywhere in the world and be proud of them.
How important are those riders, especially those that are on the two-year-olds breezing for the sale, and making sure that you get the most of them, because you have such a short amount of time, you know, around 10 seconds to show off all of that work that's been put in for that moment?
Well, it's huge. I mean, we've been using one of our breeze riders has been with us for about 15 years, and so much goes into how you set them up for the actual breeze and coming into it and nice and smooth and in the right lead. And, you know, just the way they present themselves, they show themselves so much better when done properly. They're not scrambling, and my riders on the farm get them prepared for that, where they're not scared to death when they're asked to breeze. They know their job. They come in their head bowed, ready to go. And when you just let them out a notch, they do it themselves. You tap them a couple times and they're away they go. But so much preparation and repetition goes into it. And not that people feel like you have to breeze them fast to get these works. We are really, I tell my people I'm not a great trainer. I keep horses in one piece and sound and happy, but we're really good horse buyers, and I learned that from my mom and dad, and we pride ourselves on buying a really fast horse, a really sound horse. And it you know, the athletes show themselves. If you can teach them what you want them to do, they're going to outwork the unathletic horses 90% of the time.
And you said something that I wanted to touch on too. You said really good horse buyers, and that's so evident too. And you mentioned your wife, Tori, such a huge part of the operation. One day I'm going to get Tori on the podcast, by the way. It's my goal. It's my goal to get her on, because she's really sharp too, at the sales and picking out those pedigrees. And you even mentioned a homebred of hers that you all have in the sale coming up.
Yeah, her broodmare band's out of control, I'm just going to tell you. It's she's up to about 18, and they're doing well. No complaints, but she was pretty proud today when she had that filly work 9-4, and she actually had one work 10 flat too that she bred. So we've got a few good homebreds over here, but the team, you know, it's just so rewarding to do it as a team. And have people to celebrate the victories with. When the home team wins races, you couldn't be any happier for them.
100%. That's such a huge piece of it. And when you are looking for horses, as yearlings or whatever the case may be, ones that you think could potentially be successful going on to the two-year-old sales, what are some of the things that really stand out that you're looking for that you think will be able to be effective in the commercial market?
You know, we target freshman sires pretty heavily. Going into it, I mean, we don't have any real preconceived ideas of what we have to buy as far as pedigree. Each individual is graded separately, and you know, they have to have balance, and they have to be able to move as far as walking goes, and a lot of that translates to the track. So, you know, if you get a horse that can't walk, for instance, I've got a little filly that I took on for a client that we really liked at the sale, but she couldn't walk, and she couldn't travel, and but gorgeous. So the guy said, "You liked her so much, why don't you train her for me?" So we take her, and I mean, I get to breaking her, and she's just got no stride, and it just translates from the walk that part of that whole process is how she's going to move. And she's not a bad mover, she just doesn't reach. So when we're watching them walk at the sales, we want them to reach with that shoulder. And that's going to translate a little bit into how they're going to move on the track for us.
And what kind of preparation goes into having them ready to be shown? Some of the really popular horses, maybe the breeze well or have the big pedigrees, you know, you'll see them taken out many, many times within a day, just as people are coming around and interested. And sometimes that can be quite a lot for a young horse as well.
Yes, it really is. And there's not a whole lot you can do to get them ready for what happens to them at the sale. We get them out a couple times a week and we show them on the asphalt there at our farm and jog them up and look at them. And, we're looking at their weight and we're looking at their feet and we're trying to just check legs. And that gets them a little bit of an idea of what they're supposed to do. But when they come to the sale, like you take one that's one of these 9-4, gallops out huge, looks great. They're going to be shown 50 times the first day, and then they're probably going to get 30 or 40 times the next day. And I was looking back at some of my numbers, and some of them horses were shown 140 times at the sale, which is a lot of traffic for a baby.
Absolutely, and to be able to
So
handle that
there's
mentally
not
too.
yeah so and everyone's different. Some of them love it, some of them never turn a hair. You take like And it looks back, I look back, and some of the good ones really were easy. They didn't worry about it at all. They were the easiest horses to show. And, then you get some out there that don't want to go back in the stall or don't want to come out of the stall after about 30 shows. And, some of that translate to how their mentality is going to be later on in life.
As we get ready for the April sale, which is going to be a busy one, it's going to be a lot of excitement about it. I know it's a stressful time for you guys as well with being able to have all these horses come through the ring. What is the big appeal and you think the biggest draw with, in particular, the April sale with OBS? Because you look for 2-year-olds often in Ocala, but it seems like the April sale has kind of become the marquee sale, especially with the Gulfstream sale. No longer in existence.
I think the April sale kind of correlates similar to what the Keeneland sale brings to the yearling buyers. I think it has horses at all levels for all buyers, and there's enough horses here that you can outwork people and find deals. And every year you happen to see a horse that, flew under the radar, whether it didn't breeze good, it didn't sell well, but goes on to be a good horse. And I think, people that shop this thing hard and really look at what they're buying and watch every breeze video, there's a lot of value to be had. Because you watch them breeze videos and there's all the time, like there's a horse yesterday, the saddle almost fell off of, literally slid back around the flank. The rider did such a good job not to fall off. And the horse went 10-4 with him trying to stay in the middle of him the whole time. We had one that shipped into us that wasn't. Was he prepped last week, prepped little green. Well, this week, yes, or actually today, when he went from the inside rail to the middle of the track, back down to the inside rail in the matter of a 10 second point, 10-4 or 10-3 work. And I mean, he probably goes 10-1 or 10 flat if he goes straight. But there's going to be, if somebody shops the whole sale, there's 20 horses like these that they can. That have some talent, that have some residual value, that are not going to bring a premium. But there's a lot of them that are going to work great, gallop out good, and may have a vet issue that makes them more affordable. But you can just outwork people. It gives everybody a chance to come in here and work hard and find a horse in their range, is what I think. And you can, I mean, Arabian Nite come out of the April sale, 2.3 million. And grade one winner, Saudi Crown, same sale, 230,000 maybe, grade one winner. So I mean, it's, a big difference there in budget.
It's kind of like you said, it's the dream is alive at the 2-year-old sales for sure, and all about that legwork. Well, Jimbo, I really appreciate you taking the time. We'll see you out at the sale next week, and best of luck with all of the horses in your group for this April sale coming up.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on, and hopefully we can do it again, and look forward to seeing you and Miguel up here.
I'm so happy to welcome in Todd Wojciechowski, the Director of Sales for OBS. And of course, Todd, a busy time of year with the 2-year-old sales well underway, and we are getting closer and closer to April sale. How are things over at the OBS sales grounds?
Well, so far so good. We're right in the thick of our under tax shows. We have 7 days of under tax shows for the April sale. We just completed day three. We've had beautiful weather the last 3 days. That weather may change a little bit as we move into this week, so we may have some challenges ahead there, but we'll certainly adapt and overcome.
And like you said, weather always a little bit of a piece of it, particularly in the Breeze Show, if there's wind or whatever the case may be. How do you adapt, and how do you think that the potential buyers and consigners adapt with however the weather may be acting in Florida?
Well, you know, fortunately for us, Acacia, the main thing that we have to deal with really is wind and rain. Mm-hmm. You know, fortunately with a synthetic surface, we don't really have to deal with mud. We don't deal with a changing track. Once the rain stops, we're back onto a fast track. So, you know, that's one of the advantages we have of having a consistent surface because, you know, as I've pointed out to people a lot of times, nobody breezes more horses over more days anywhere else in the world. Mm-hmm. So we need to be able to have that consistency, A, to give horses the best opportunity to present themselves, and B, to give the buyers their best opportunity to make comparisons across so many days and so many horses.
Can you talk a little bit about that track and with the synthetic surface and how remarkably consistent it does seem to be, how safe it is as well, and why that is so important for this sale?
Well, I think, you know, as far as safety, I think the industry has done a good job of documenting that at the racetracks and the lower catastrophic rates that it presents. For us, again, it's not only just safe, it is also consistent. And, you know, consistent means safe. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good thing for us. The other part that I think gets twisted a little bit sometimes, you know, certainly we've had a number of fast times over the, you know, from our March sale. And then over the last 3 days, we've had a number of fast times. But, you know, unfortunately, from an industry perspective, you know, we deal with that speed from a perspective of thinking of dirt. And in order for the racetrack to be that fast on the dirt, it's got to be like a highway, mm-hmm. right? Hard, you know, hard and fast. They always say it. With a synthetic, you don't have that hardness to it. So these horses are just kind of skipping over this racetrack right now. It's very safe. They're, you know, they're skipping through their gallop outs, and the horses are coming back good. And that's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things we pay attention to. We want to see horses, you know, that post-breeze are healthy, number one, and moving forward off of it.
And as you said, in the midst of the Breeze Show right now, leading up to this, to the April sale, and there have been two, I believe, 9 and 3 so far, which is really kind of dazzling. Of course, also on this episode, I got a chance to speak to Jimbo Gladwell, top line consigned, the horse that's now known as Moose, who worked 9 and 3 at the sale last year. Right. And those are just, I mean, dazzling workouts to see over that track for young 2-year-olds that are still so inexperienced.
Well, you know, so a lot of times at the racetrack, they say time only counts when you're in jail, but certainly time means something here at the Under Tack Show. But as important is the way the look they have when they do it. Do they give you that look of a natural athlete? Or is this the best they're ever going to be? You know, you make the analogies. We make these analogies all the time that this is the NFL scouting combine mm-hmm. of the racing world. I would also make the analogy. These are like your collegiate athletes, your high school athletes moving into D1. And, you know, a lot of times you see these horses that are they're fast, but that's they've kind of topped out where they are versus looking at a horse that is quick, but they also move with a level of ease and smoothness that you just don't see all the time.
Talk me through the April sale a little bit. It's a big catalog, but very strong catalog as well. And it really does seem like March is always good, but so many people saying, oh, I'm waiting for April. I know there are going to be some good horses there in April.
Well, certainly April has really become the go-to 2-year-old sale, mm-hmm. you know, for that matter, in the world. you know, the international buying bench will be deep here as well as the domestic bench. There's something for everyone here. For whatever level of force or your whatever level of budget that you have, you're going to find something that falls into that range over the next week. The quality of horses that have come out of this sale, I mean, if all you have to do is look at our catalog cover and see the graded winners we've had just this year. The April sale continues to produce quality horses, and the buyers recognize that.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, with the March sale, we wrapped that up about a month ago, and a good group there as well, including the horses coming in from the Lothenbach dispersal, which were well received, it seemed too. Can you reflect back a little bit on the March sale?
Absolutely. Again, a quality sale. As April becomes more and more competitive, you see some people that suddenly think, you know, are thinking back to March. Both buyers and sellers, whether the, you know, the buyers are running into competition for horses, sellers running into competition with other sellers. You see, you know, we had a larger catalog this year. You know, we were fortunate to be the benefactor of a bad situation or a sad situation with the passing of Mr. Lothenbach and you know, those horses coming to us. We were very fortunate for that. Quality group of horses also demonstrated that quality shines through, whether it's a fast breeze or a gallop.
What are some of the differences, you think, between the sales? Obviously, some horses are going to be ready earlier, but from OBS's standpoint, are there decisions, are there conversations behind the scenes about which horses may fit best in which sale?
We try to have an open dialogue with all of our consigners. We spend a good part of the early, late fall, early winter, however you want to call it, the end of the year, that December, January period of time, visiting with consigners, trying to help them make decisions on where they fit best. You know, we've always felt like that the best March horse is the one that you wish the sale was tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If you have one that needs just a little more time, April, and if you have one that needs a little more time than that, you go to June. And that has seemed to work well. And you certainly need a horse in March that is precocious. You know, we used to have 2-year-old sales in February. Mm-hmm. We don't have that anymore. But also, when we had those sales in February, if you remember, Acacia, there wasn't a yearling sale beyond the September yearling sale. Now there's 3,000 or 4,000 head of yearlings that are sold into the month of October. So the sales calendars have shifted a little later. So that's why you don't see the February sale, and March has become the new quote unquote early sale. Mm-hmm. Because the guys selling these horses are just getting their hands on them later. So they need the time to prepare them the right way. But the horses that come to hand quickly, those are the horses that go to March. That's not to say they're better or worse. Sure. They just came to hand in training quicker than the horses that perhaps are in April.
And it seems like this is such a exciting time of year too, right? The dream of getting one of these horses to win first out at Saratoga or Del Mar is very real and very soon. And that is, I know for many, some of the appeal of the 2-year-old sales, with being able to kind of go right on with them.
Oh, absolutely. And the same thing for our sellers. I mean, this is we have to be a very optimistic bunch, right? Mm-hmm. So much can go wrong in this game. So we're always looking for the next good one. We're always thinking of the glasses half full, and the next horse is going to be the one. Everybody, this time of year, the 2-year-olds really haven't done anything wrong yet. So they haven't done anything to tell you that they're not the one. So everybody, hope springs eternal. And I think as far as people that are involved in this industry, that we have to be optimistic people.
That's for sure. It'd be very tough to go from day-to-day operations if you're not able to handle all the ups and downs of this game. But you touched on a couple of the graduates of the sales that have gone on to do such big things on the racetrack. Can you give a little bit of a run through of those and particularly who we see on the cover for April?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've been very fortunate to have a number of amazing horses come through our sale, particularly the April sale. You know, on the cover this year, you have Arabian Night, you have Du Jour, you have Arabian Lion, Saudi Crown. Turn the catalog over and you're going to see Carson's Run, Grade One winner, Dreamfire, Grade Three winner, Hades winner, the Holy Bull. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just Lemon Muffin from the Honeybee. Mm-hmm. And that's just the most recent winners. So very fortunate that the April sale is rich with a history of producing good horses.
And looking back to the March sale as well, that cover was White Abario, who was not necessarily at all a high-priced purchase. And I got a chance to chat with his consigner over there. And it does kind of highlight, once again, like you said, for those that put in the legwork, you really can find a horse for anybody, depending on what you're looking for.
Exactly. And, you know, if only the expensive horses were the ones that won all the grade ones, then this would be a pretty narrow game. You know, so the fact that somebody has the opportunity to come in, do their homework, and find a horse that can win, and then not only win, but then go on and be White Abario, it's pretty amazing. You know, having that ability to see that horse on that racetrack is an important component or metric that you just don't get anywhere else.
And how are the OBS team feeling with this week? Because I imagine this is kind of right in the midst of the busiest season for you. And what I think a lot of people don't realize is that there's been so much prep work leading up to this, like you said, with finding the right horses, with having relationships with the consigners or even potential buyers. I mean, how is it with getting to this point after everything that's been done leading up to these big sale seasons?
Well, it's very gratifying to see once the horse get on the grounds, it gets exciting. You know, a lot of the prep work is office type work, and then once the horses get on the grounds, it becomes real. We get an opportunity to watch these horses train every day, and then, you know, obviously when we get to the under tack shows, that it's fun to watch. But yeah, that's when it gets real, and it's a lot of fun. You know, we're in the horse business. We're horsemen. We enjoy horses, so it's a fun time for us.
Well, can't wait. We'll see you over there at the April sale being in the next couple of days. Todd, thank you so much for taking the time today, and best of luck with everything with the sale coming up.
Thanks, Keisha. We look forward to seeing you.
And that'll do it for another episode of In the Ring. Big thank you to today's guests and to OBS Sales. Cannot wait for the upcoming OBS April 2-year-old in training sale. As we talked about on the show, so many great horses, Grade One winners who have come out of this sale, and I'm excited myself to get a chance to get over there, take a look at the babies, and see if we can find any future stars, which will be pretty exciting. So don't forget, you can follow along with everything that's going on with the sale as well with obssales.com. A great website. It's actually also been recently updated and is pretty user-friendly as well. You can follow along with the results and how the horses are doing, and there's also a live stream on there as well. So don't forget to keep tabs on that and look forward to having an opportunity to recap the sale on this show as well. So thanks for listening today. Thanks for joining us. Again, a big thank you to my guest, and I'll see you next time on In the Ring.